Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Well, I bet my soul on a six-string gamble, and I climb like hell through the brush and the bramble. Even though I had my doubts, told myself don't look down, and I turned that hill into a pile of gravel. It was only a mountain, nothing but a big old rock. Only a mountain, it ain't hard if you don't stop.
Low budget live, not so live. February 12th.
Yeah, that's only a mountain.
Dierks Bentley. I've always been a big Dierks guy. And this new album's pretty good. It's very fitting, too. For the... So I got a climb ahead of me, guys. With five more tournaments to go, which is a majority of the season left. You know, season left. But after Toho and after Rayburn, I have... Not done myself any daggum favors, let's just be honest. Rayburn, I was completely, I just missed the deal. And we've talked about that on here, and we listened to Terry Bolton talk about the deal. But at Toho and in Florida in general, I always feel like I understand what goes on down there, and I do a little bit. And I fish with confidence in Florida. I know to slow down. I know to do things. And I just never got a big bite, man. Weighed 10 pounds a day, you know, there, 10 and a quarter, something like that a day. And I just never, you know, I had one, I weighed like a 4-pounder a day or whatever, but that tells you how small the other ones were. But at like 5 minutes to go, and this will all be on the Luke Duncan's Traveling Circus, you'll get to see all this. Hashtag shameless plug. With 5 minutes to go on day two, I roll up close to the ramp, pitch my cricket up there in a little isolated lily pad clump in some Kissimmee grass, and thought I saw the line jump. I was like, did I just get a bite? But there's, you know, everybody's coming in for weigh-in and everything. There's boat weights, pick up on it, and it says brrr, down in the pad, set the hook. It was like a five. She cuts the pads, comes right out, and I'm thinking, yeah, I got this in the bag. This will give me a few more pounds. Not enough to get a check, but enough to, you know, jump up a few places, save some points, what have you. And comes off. Just shakes that old trocar right out of her face. Right in my face. In their face. And I'm sure she was thinking that it was not fun biting that hook. But once she got it out of her face, she was like,
it was worth it.
You know. She was excited. She was excited. I don't know, man. It was frustrating, but man, I'm telling you, doing this traveling circus has been so much fun. And I had a ball filming with Hayden down at the first one at Rayburn, and we got a lot of good stuff. And Austin Boyd, who is the man behind the traveling circus for the rest of the year, he's going to travel with me, and he traveled with me to Florida, is absolutely, he's a good dude. And we had a great time. And the trailer, posted the trailer up last night for the traveling circus episode 2, but man, it's going to be cool. He's killing it. And I can't wait for the rest of the season. You know, to see what we can bring you and show you the ups and downs. And so far it's been, you know, it's been a mix of both, man. You know, I really, I had a mediocre first 2 days of practice at Toho, and then the last day, Austin and I were out there, and I figured out two areas and figured out a deal. And, dude, man, I'm telling you, I shook some good ones off and thought with the warming trend we were having that it was going to get better, and it just kind of went away. And I, for size anyways, I still got bites, obviously, but the big ones just left. And I'm talking about I had two or three without a hook, you know, with my hook cut. Just biggins. I mean biggins. And I don't know if it was fishing pressure, you know, some people fish through there on the off day because I found these on Tuesday. I don't know. I don't know if they caught them on the off day when I was doing Monsters in the Morning radio show up in downtown Orlando, which was a freaking blast. Got to interview one of my favorite comedians, Bert Kreischer. Was calling in, and they let me ask Bert some questions. So I spent a lot of time with those guys. Huge thanks to them for letting me come on there. I got to drop Mom's Basement, you know, talk about Mom's Basement on the radio. But yeah, anyways, I think while I was joking on the radio, somebody was sticking on my fish or something. But I don't know. They just got out of there, and there weren't a lot of other guys in the area, which is never a good sign in Florida because everybody kind of fishes on top of each other. And I don't know. It's frustrating, but I'm not as down in the dumps as I was after Rayburn just because I just completely missed it at Rayburn. And I was doing the right thing in Florida. I just didn't get fortunate enough to get a good bite or two. But, man, overall, the event was awesome. Lots of big ones weighed in. FLW killed it. Just like they did at Rayburn, well ran event, you know, but focus on those 8 and 9 pounders, you know, there were a lot of them that came in, man. A lot of them caught off the bed sight fishing. It was an exciting event for sure. And then, you know, the bass guys were over at St. John's and they were smashing, catching some old big ones, and everybody's throwing shots across the bow right now. It's like, we've got big ones and a big stage. And big dreams. That's bass. And then you got FLW's like, we got big ones too. Big ones. Look at these big ones. And MLF's like, hey, President Bush just sent in a video telling us to welcome to Texas. It's so stupid. Every fish counts, but President Bush said, what's up? It's bizarre right now. It's so bizarre. And then Bass was like, our crowds are big. And then FLW was like, our crowds are big too. And MLF's like, well, we didn't have anybody show up at all at the expo, but 9 million people watched online per our numbers that you should believe because we counted. It's weird. It's weird. It's all weird right now. And I'm not a hater. We've talked about that before. I enjoyed the MLF coverage. Been watching it again today. My boy Strader's actually leading today. Atkins has been catching them too. Swindle's up there. Jason Christie. Some of my brothers, they're all catching them out there at Conroe. I watched a little bit of it today. Not as much. Not as interested as I was in Toho for obvious reasons. So, probably won't watch that much of it. But did catch a little bit of it here before I went on the air with Low Budget Live. And I don't know. My main beef is... two things. The first being, it's confusing having all these trails for the fans and everything else. It's confusing. But my number one beef, and I posted about it on my Instagram story, is MLF is running this ad, Bass Pro Tour, whatever you call it, MLF, Major League Fishing. But they're running this ad, and the ad says, typical tournament fishing in this devil voice, right? And it shows a guy flipping one in the boat and all but kicking it in the face and then throwing it in the live well. And, you know, it's like ride around for hours in the live well. And it shows like culling systems going through fish's face, which is basically like a hook, but whatever. And then throwing them in a live well, you know, a weigh-in bag. And it's like hours later. And then it goes, ha, ha, MLF. And it's like Art Defoe carefully getting this bass in the boat and tenderly loving him and looking at him and telling him he'll never hurt him again. And then they weigh him and it says 28 seconds from catch to release. MLF. Ha, ha, ha. the only way to fly or fish or some crap like that. But the thing is, they are alienating 99% of the bass fishing community with this idiotic ad. And it's basically like something that some dude that works at PETA came up with. And it's just putting it on a platter for them. Five fish limit tournaments have been the norm. I'm not saying it's the right way or the wrong way, but I know that tournaments where people want to show up at weigh-ins, and I think that's why FLW had a bigger crowd than MLF at their post-game show, and that's why Bass killed it at the St. John's, because people want to show up and see freaking fish. They do. They don't want to come sit there and watch a guy in his jersey run his mouth about how many one-pounders. They don't. They want to see a freaking big one. And when you come and there's eights and nines and tens being weighed in, it's freaking cool. That's why I used to go to weigh-ins when I was a kid. That's why I still enjoy going to weigh-ins, except for when I have 10 pounds. Uncas in me. No, man, it's so stupid. And to take a shot at the rest of the tournament fishing world with this stupid ad, it is not feasible for club tournaments. It's not feasible for club tournaments. It's not feasible for buddy team tournaments. It's not feasible for TH Marine BFLs. It's not feasible for anyone to adopt this format. It is a television show. It is a reality show. Period. Granted, it's a fishing tournament, but it is a reality show. Everybody can't do it. I think it's a cool format. I enjoy it. But don't knock everybody else in this industry. And then for guys like, you know, whoever, Bobby Van Dam, some of these guys that have made their living through bass and FLW to be like, this is the only way to do this. This was a long time coming. Well, you know what? Last year, it was okay to still be boxing five. So quit trying to sell me your bill of goods on all this and try to basically talk down to the rest of us heathens that are flipping these bass in the boat, stomping on them, and then filleting them and frying them up before we go to these old-fashioned weigh-ins. So stupid. I'm over it, man. But word on the street is they're catching a lot of flack for this stupid ad they're running, that they're going to remove it. But as of today, they haven't taken it down. But my beef is, dude, people make products to keep bass alive. Yeah, do we lose some? Yeah. But FLW operates at a 99% live release rate. Say that three times fast. Live release rate. And companies like TH Marine, shout out, hashtag TH Marine, y'all. They make products like G-Juice to keep them alive. And oxygenators and Ranger live wells, you know. These boats come equipped to keep fish alive. Fishermen are amazing conservationists. Fisheries right now in 2019 are better than they were 30 years ago. And there are more tournaments ranging from high school all the way to pros right now than there's ever been in my entire 35 years on planet Earth. So if you think tournament fishing is killing fisheries, you just need to be a fan of MLF and the fact that they're catching every one of them and turning them right loose. Because at the end of the day, and I've said this a million times, and it's getting to be old hat joke for me, but at the end of the day, you are driving a piece of metal through a fish's face and dragging him from his home. Regardless, if we don't want them hurt and we want to protect them, then maybe we should just not fish. It would be like saying, man, I love to deer hunt. It's my favorite thing in the world. That's why I use this this gun with this bullet right here. When it enters the deer behind his shoulder, it don't hurt him as bad before it kills him. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. If you don't want to shoot deer, fine. Go to a petting zoo. If you don't want to hurt bass, don't catch them on a treble hook. Or smack a jig through their face on 25-pound fluoro and a flipping stick. I mean, come on, man. We're attracting negativity to our sport instead of it. And I hate to be like that, can everybody get along, dude? But it's just like, my God, I said this in the beginning with all this stuff, man. I am a fan of bass fishing. I have been since I was a child. I'm going to keep up with every organization, dude. I was so jacked that Rick Klun won. He's one of my all-time favorite anglers. I'm an FLW guy, but was it cool to see Rick win? Yeah. Am I a fan of what they're doing at Bass? Yeah. Got a lot of buddies over there. A lot of buddies. Including, like, you know, the guys doing Bassmaster Live, Zona and Davey and Ronnie Moore. Like, these guys are, they're friends of mine. So, it's stupid. It's all stupid. You shouldn't have to pick. Man, I read the fan chatter, the mom's basement chatter, and it's insane, man. I saw a guy on FLW's post this week say, Daryl Davis, who had a good tournament down at Toho. Daryl flips one in the boat, and this guy says, it disgusts me to see pros do that. And then he goes on to say the correct way to land a bass is the way MLF's doing it. And I commented back, did you know the correct way to land a bass until you were fed 4 days of what is the correct way to land a bass at Toho by MLF? I mean, it's stupid. It's so stupid. None of us want to hurt a fish. We don't want to, you know, we get penalized for dead fish. We take better care of them than anybody. And then not to mention, you got all these ads, you know, about tournament fishing, but then you still have the general public that, you know, a lot of them aren't tournament fishermen. They don't care, and they still cut the sides out of them, dude. You go below Pickwick and Wilson Dam on the Tennessee River down here and watch guys live bait for smallmouth and catch five-pounder after five-pounder after five-pounder in the spring and cut the sides out of every one of them and go home and have a fish fry. And you know how many million five-pounders are below these dams? You can't put a dent in them. Same thing happens at Gunnersville every spring. So for them to tell me that I don't need to ride one around in my live well, I'm going to need you to sit down and be humble, Boyd. Gary, sit down and be humble. Because y'all all made a living doing this a long time ago before y'all started weighing every one of them. So sit down and be humble. That's all I'm going to say. Quit running your ad. It's dumb. Anyways, speaking of ads, Low Budget Live, Not So Live, brought to you by the amazing people at StarTron. That's right, StarTron, protecting your investments, your lawnmowers, your chainsaws, hashtag chainsaw, your UTVs, like Polaris Rangers. Shout out to Polaris for sponsoring FLW. Protecting your outboard engines, all your investments, fighting ethanol, kicking it in the face. StarTron bringing you Low Budget Live, and we always appreciate that. But segueing into another topic, and this is something that D-Money and I, Darian, talk about all the time, and it's funny that I say ads. So I heard Rogan talk about this too. And y'all can hit me up when you listen to this. Send me Instagram messages or Facebook messages or whatever about your opinion on this. But, dude, so Darian's going down the road. Hang on. Let me back up. Last summer, we were at ICAST in Orlando, Florida, and Big C, Corey, is drinking this god-awful healthy drink. I don't know. And we're in an elevator, and I was asking him about it and probably making fun of him and calling him gay for it, most likely. But I'm asking him about it. Dude, the next day on my Instagram, I get a targeted ad for that drink. Can't make it up. Can't make it up. I didn't Google it. My phone was in my pocket. And I'm like, man, does this ever happen to y'all talking to D-Money and Big C and our buddy Michael Roby? Roby's like, dude, it happens all the time. So we were sitting there talking about having a Hardee's burger at lunch. Roby then, on his phone, gets a Hardee's ad on his Instagram. You can't make this crap up. This is almost a year ago. So we joke about this all the time. All the time. And Darian, him and Big C had a wild adventure across Florida. They went and worked the BPT and got to see him down there before my event started. Went to dinner for D-Money's birthday. But we were having this conversation at dinner. And D says, when him and Corey were on the way to Florida, they're passing through Gainesville, and they had stayed at some hotel that was pretty nice or whatever the night before, and Darian was talking to his fiance, Hannah, and he says, the hotel we were in last night was really, really nice, But it was like the price of a Super 8. It was crazy. We'll have to come down here and stay at it sometime or whatever. I think they'd been around Panama City Beach, whatever. And when he got off the phone, the Super 8 in Gainesville, Florida, had started following him on Instagram. Come on, man. There's some shenanigans going on with an iPhone. But we've been talking about this. 2 days later, that was like Saturday night. 2 days later, Austin and I, maybe the next day, Austin and I, Maestro of the Traveling Circus, Mr. Amazing Cameraman and Editor, we were staying at this cabin and we didn't have a stove or whatever. So we went to Publix and like bought a rotisserie chicken and like totally had a man supper thrown together with some chips and sauce and stuff for the Super Bowl. But he and I are sitting in a room talking, watching a Super Bowl. And I'm like, dude, we need to see because, you know, practice ends late every night. We're like, man, we need to see if the Uber Eats delivers out here. That would be really cool. Uber Eats. The next morning, neither one of us Google it. Neither one of us call about it. We don't do anything. The next morning, Uber Eats is on my Instagram feed and my Twitter feed. The next morning. And on Austin's. So, you better throw your phone away. Just throw your phone away. They're listening to Low Budget Live right now. Now, the trick is I need people to start thinking and talking about the Traveling Circus and Low Budget Live. That way, they'll start running targeted ads at y'all and at other people. You know, I don't know how this works, but it's terrifying to me. And I was telling the Diesel, Spanky, Scott Arms from Ranger, he and I had dinner on Thursday night down in Florida. I was telling him this. He's laughing at me. Duncan, you're crazy. Conspiracy theorist, which I'm not. But Duncan, you're nuts. You guys are crazy. It's, you know, and he's like saying all this stuff into his phone with it, you know, off. The next day he's like, yeah, I didn't get any ads. He's giving me a hard time. So he calls me yesterday and he says he goes out and has some beers with Fat Todd and Russell on Friday night. And that, Fat Todd was drinking something stupid, like a Stella or something. Stella Artois, however you say that. I'm not a beer drinker. I don't know. But the Diesel said, he was like, yeah, I've never had that. It's gross. You know, I'm sure it's gross. And they were like back and forth. Well, Fat Todd's telling him it's the best beer ever because it's Fat Todd. And the next morning, the Diesel wakes up. Stella ad on his Insta. I'm telling you. Better check your stuff. They're coming after us. I'm like, I mean, I'm not ready to wear like a damn tinfoil hat or anything yet, but it's crazy. It's so crazy, dude. That's just royally tripped me out. Royally tripped me out. Like I can't wrap my head around it. So I'm careful at what I say around my phone now. You don't want to say anything bad, right? Like, you don't want to look up anything you're not supposed to be looking up or even be thinking about it or talking about it. And then it's like, ding, 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 getting targeted ads for, like, I don't know, something weird. Makes zero sense, man. Makes zero sense. Anyways, I wish that I could start talking about, like, Seminole. And the things I need to know at Seminole, and those pop up on my phone, like how to not run around down there and get smashed by a stump. Austin and I stopped there on the way home from Toho for a few hours and just rode around. It's high and muddy and like everywhere else is right now. And, dude, I haven't been there in about 20 years. I went there when I was a kid and fished a BFL regional down there, Redman Regional. At the time, I was a co-angler. I actually won big bass in that event. In the fall, and it was miserable, and it was tough, but so I haven't been there in a really long time, so I didn't remember anything about it or anything like that. So I wanted to go just kind of ride around, check it out, know what I was getting into a little bit, you know. So we ran around, and that place is so unbelievably full of stumps that when you get out of any said Mark channel and you're following the old Garmin up through there, like, you're fixing to start playing Plinko. Like, you're bouncing off of crap. I got up on one sideways at one point. I mean, it was so crazy. And this after Toho, I destroyed a prop in practice running through sand or something. I actually think I might have hit some shells or something, but I destroyed one, and then I had to get another one from Evinrude, a new four blade, and it ran so good, I was like, I'm kind of glad I tore it up.
It was worth it.
You know, I'm glad I got that. I'm glad I tore up that old prop and got to get me a new one because
it was worth it.
That's what I say. It was worth it. It was worth it. It was, the four blade's running a lot better than the three blade, and three blade was running pretty daggum good. But yeah, man, me and Austin are coming up through there, and I'm running like 70 in no water and, you know, a couple feet, but that's typical for Florida. And then, boom, I hit the bottom. But I just kind of skipped across it, and I straight up rolled one ear on a prop and basically almost broke another ear off of it. So shout out to Steve at Evinrude for getting me hooked back up. I had a spare, but I wanted, you know, another spare because you never know. I was making a long run going through the lock and everything. Speaking of running, oh, be sure this post is going up tonight. I'm posting this. First day, some dude, I forget his name. That doesn't matter. I guess it does, but not really. Some dude right out of the giddy, day one, let me back up. Let me tell you real quick about my day one. If you'll see it on the traveling circus, but I was climbing in the boat on day one, had my phone in my hoodie pocket. This is on the boat ramp, and I heard something bang on the front, but I thought it was like the winch rope, the bow winch rope, the hook on it banging. So I got in the boat. Austin backs me in. He goes to park the truck. I can't find my phone. Can't find my phone. So I start this event with no phone. Can't find it. Of course, Austin's riding with me to film the circus, and so we got a phone in case there's an emergency, whatever. But and my dad was also down there being my camera boat. He came down to get out of the cold in Tennessee, and he drove Austin around. So I had two phones with me around all day if I needed them for emergency, whatever. But, you know, that sucks. That's your life. I'm on my phone a lot. It was gone. So I started out all bummed out, and I kind of got over that, go through boat check, call my boat number. Running down the lake, and you'll see this video. You'll see this video. It will be on Insta and Facebook and YouTube shortly. So running down the lake 70 miles an hour, right out of the giddy, right out of takeoff, and I'm running. John Hunter's to my right, shout out to John, and John Hunter and this other dude that's not in a rat boat, so I don't know or care, but anyways, he's running next to me, and we're just all running, you know, and we're running this back little channel. And all of a sudden, homeboy to my left decides he's going to kind of like turn left, you know, and get away from us. And then does the dumbest thing that I feel like he did all day. I wasn't with him after this to know, but I feel like it was the dumbest thing he did all day. And probably maybe one of the dumber things he's ever done in his life. Like I said, I'm not sure. I don't hang with this dude a lot. This was a dumb enough move. I feel like he makes a lot of dumb moves. But dude, without looking, and I'm talking about it's beautiful weather. We don't have on rain gear. We don't have on hoods. We don't have on beanies. We don't have anything like that. Without looking over his shoulder at all, without looking to the right, homie just cuts right. And on this video, you'll see I have to let completely out of it. He crosses the bow of my boat, and the video doesn't do it justice, but he's so close, he soaks us with his rooster tail. Soaks us. Me, Austin, soaked to the bone. And I went bananas. I was just glad that this man did not run to the lock and was not at the lock waiting to go through the lock with me for an hour. I'll just leave it at that. I was so mad. There's no excuse for that. So if you're keeping score, lost my phone. Then that happened. Then I didn't catch him like I wanted to. I only had one fish at 1 o'clock, then end up catching a limit, then end up catching a 4.5, kind of rebound a little bit. Anyways, don't catch another big one, so it is what it is. Get back to the weigh-in day one, back to the weigh-in, and my phone starts calling Austin's phone. And my dad has gone in the parking lot, and I kid you not, my Ranger has a really nice step, long step with a rubber pad on it. That phone fell out of my pocket in the dark, landed face first down on that trailer step, and stayed there all day long. Nobody got it. Nobody saw it. Nobody found it. So I got my phone back. So the day had bad beginnings, bad blood, as my girl T-Swizzle would say. Now we got bad blood. Me and this dude driving this boat got bad blood. Me and my cell phone were at odds. Come back, have my phone. So it wasn't a total awful day, right? It wasn't. But it's insane. It's insane. Only, that's why my life, that's why we're calling it the traveling circus. Because it is truly, you can't make it up, man. You just can't. It's always something. And I don't do it on purpose. It's not like I try for everybody's enjoyment. I don't. It's just dumb stuff happens. It does. It happens to me a lot for whatever reason. But we're capturing it all in the circus. So you'll see it. Episode 2 will probably be out next week. I look forward to everybody seeing this one. We got some good stuff. Tell a good story. And we're going to get it out of the ditch at Seminole. But we got 2 or 3 weeks. Sorry for no low budget last week. Didn't have Wi-Fi in the room to do an LBL live. Wanted to. Had some good guys around, staying around, that I would like to have done a low budget with. But and I apologize for no guests this week. I just kind of wanted to ramble, talk about some things, talk about tournaments. And we'll have a guest on next week. Not sure who. Maybe the winner of MLF. Maybe. We'll see. I'd like to do that. I'd like to get Rick Klun on, but I don't think that would ever happen. I don't know if he would be all about this LBL life. I'm not real sure. I know Jimmy Houston would do it because Jimmy and I are bros, and I saw Jimmy once again in Florida fishing with his shirt off in practice, and it's spectacular. I love Jimmy. But I don't know. We'll see who we can get on next week. I appreciate everybody listening. I appreciate you. Appreciate you. I have fun doing it. Like I said, we're going to try to turn the year around, and we're going to document every bit on the traveling circus. Thank y'all for listening. Next week, we're going to get somebody on here. Maybe the W, or maybe Jason Christie. They're straight smashing them. Brent Ayler, one of those guys. We'll see. This format's so crazy, you never know. But like to get one of those guys on. I still, Joe Lee owes me an appearance too. And unfortunately, it rolled right into our tournament, so I didn't get to talk to Jordan. Wanted to do an interview with Jordan. But we're going to get together an actual live with Swindle, Jordan, and Matt before too long. We're planning it, but we got to get all our schedules together. But thank y'all so much. Hit me up. Let me know what you think about that crazy commercial on the IG and what you think about my boat video that's going up. All right. Low budget live. Thank y'all. Another one a little bit higher. Just when I think I'm finally done, I'm staring at another one. So I reach down deep and I lace them up tighter. It was only a mountain, nothing but a big old rock. Only a mountain, it ain't hard if you don't stop. It just took a little step, a right, then a left, then a couple million more. Who's counting? Hell, it's only a mountain. The sweat beads.